ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। I am very grateful and honored to have the opportunity to be amongst all of you this evening, and I thank you for coming. Tonight, I would like to speak a few words on the subject of blessings and gratitude. The great acharyas, since time immemorial, has spoken how to apply essential philosophical principles through the stories of the lives of great souls. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. The truth is most effectively revealed through studying the character, words, and activities of those who love God. Shukadeva Goswami, when reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, he extracted from a vast resource of history the most important stories to help us to understand what is the essence of life and how to achieve it. One such story is that of the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj. We all know how when he was only a child of 5, he went to sit on his father's lap. His father was king, sitting on his throne. But his father's, he had 2 queens. The other queen, who was not Dhruva's mother, could not bear seeing another woman's child sitting on the throne with her husband. With words that were sharp and harsh as arrows, she pierced that poor little child's heart. You have no right to sit on the throne of your father because you were born from the womb of an inferior woman. Now, a 5-year-old child is not so philosophically alert, or let us say, astute. In a time of such a traumatic crisis, he naturally turned to his father for shelter. But his father, due to not wanting to displease this particular queen, said nothing. Dhruva ran to his mother, trembling, crying. He was devastated. His mind was shattered. Not only that he was spoken to so harshly, but that his own father betrayed him at the time of the greatest need of his life for shelter. He was a Kshatriya, and even at 5 years old, Krishna tells in Gita, for such a person, dishonor is worse than death. His mother suffered more than him, because that is the nature of love. Where there is real love, there is compassion. The pain of a loved one is worse than your own pain. Her beautiful face dried up like a withered lotus flower. With a choked voice, seeing her son in such a condition, she realized her helplessness. She said, "Dear Dhruva, there's nothing I can do. Unfortunately, you were born from the womb of an inferior queen. Your husband, your father is partial to her. The only thing I can tell you is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, who gives shelter to his devotees. Where will I find the Lord? Great rishis, they go to the forest to find the Lord." He was so determined. At once he left home for the forest. It wasn't like hanging gardens near Malabar Hill. It was a forest with tigers and serpents and scorpions. No facilities. Jungle. And he just tread through those forests looking for God. Such determination, Dhritavrata, at that age. When the Lord sees our sincerity, the Lord reciprocates. Krishna is seated within everyone's heart. And he directs us according to our desires. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So by Krishna's will, he sent Narada Muni to happen to be right in that dense, deep forest. And he tested Dhruva. "You're only a child. Why do you take such things so seriously?" He tried to convince Dhruva to go back home. Prabhupada, he explains it in this way. The Dhruva Maharaj told Narada Muni that all your words are logical, they make sense, but they do not sit in my heart. I have come here to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narada Muni realized, this is a sincere disciple, so I will reveal everything to him. We told him to go to Vrindavan, to the forest of Madhuban, and the bank of Yamuna, to worship the Lord by creating a deity and by performing tapasya, fixing your mind and your heart on the form of the Lord with devotion, and chanting his name through the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Within a few months, Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord within his heart. But then the Lord disappeared. So Dhruva opened his eyes, and that Lord from his heart was standing physically right before Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj's desire was to have the kingdom greater than his father or his grandfather. That was his motivation of what to ask the Lord. But param drishtvani vartate, when you experience a higher taste, you are no longer attracted to meager things. Love of God awakened within his heart. He was seeing the beauty of the all-attractive Supreme Lord, Narayan. And he told the Lord, I came here looking for broken pieces of glass in the form of worldly acquisition. But by your grace, I have received the most precious diamond of your darshan. I am satisfied. I want nothing. Only to remember you always. The Lord sent Dhruva Maharaj back to his home to be reunited with his family. And eventually he was made the king. He ruled his citizens in such a way that everyone considered him just like their own father. Dhruva Maharaj, as a householder, very carefully followed three principles. The three principles that are essential for every ashram and every varna. He followed the principles of yajna, dana, and tapasya. Performing sacrifice regularly, giving in charity, and performing tapasya, which means living by very high ethical moral principles. Srila Prabhupada explains that for a grihastha, Dhruva was performing great, great yajnas regularly. In this age of Kali, yajnai sankirtanam yajna, that the only real yajna that is recommended is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. What one could attain in Satyayuga through thousands of years of intense meditation, in Treta Yuga, by performing great, great yajnas or sacrifices. In Dwapara Yuga, by worshipping the Lord according to very, very high regulative principles in the temple. The same results can be achieved simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Kalerdo sanide rajan asti heka mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga parambraje. Kali Yuga is a time when there is an ocean of faults
According to the sages and according to the scriptures, there is only one benediction in this age of Kali. Only one benediction. But this one benediction makes Kali Yuga the most auspicious of all times to live. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that the sages and the rishis who are most compassionate to all living beings, they worship the Kali Yuga more than all other times. Because in this age, one can attain the supreme perfection by performing the simplest, sweetest, most enjoyable of all sacrifices, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nithai Gaura Chandra. Tava Avatara Sarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. And the Yuga Avatar of this age, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Krishna and Balaram, who have descended, most supremely kind. They have come to establish this Nam Sankirtan process, to give the highest realizations of spiritual truth to everyone and anyone without discrimination. And their process is simply joyful. Chant and dance. So this is first principle, is yajna. The purpose of yajna really is to please the Lord. And chanting the holy names of the Lord with a sincere and humble heart is the greatest way to please the Lord in this age. Because the Lord is none different than His name. And charity. Everyone should give charity. King, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas or Grihasthas. It is a principle of Dharma to give in charity. Otherwise, we become victim of greed and envy. Whether one is rich or poor, charity is very important to purify your own heart. Kolavecha Sridhar was a very poor man, but still he gave half his income in charity to worship Ganga for the welfare of all living beings. And brahmacharis, sannyasis, they also must do yajna by meditating on the name of the Lord, and they give in charity. They work for the welfare of society. Through their words, they give in charity. Through their actions, they give in charity. Parupakar, for the welfare of others. Charity means to give what you have for the welfare of other living beings. It is explained that Dhruva Maharaj, he saw the Supreme Lord of his heart inside and outside of everything. He did not see anything separate from God. Avidya, or ignorance, is to not see anything in relation to the Supreme Lord. Because this entire material nature, it is a creation of the Lord. The Lord is within every atom. The Lord is between every atom. The Lord is in the heart of every living being. Inside and out. When we actually have this consciousness, in the spirit of servitude, we want to live for the welfare of everyone because we see the Lord within everyone. This is real charity. Real charity is not about getting tax write-offs. It's not about getting your name in a plaque wherever you give the charity so that the world will see, so that we give charity to our own ego. Real charity is when we actually see God and we want to serve God. And the highest charity is to uplift people's consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explains, charity means giving knowledge and especially giving prasad. Srila Prabhupada says, philanthropy, helping people emotionally, helping people physically, that is, Prabhupada says, it is very good. It is pious. If it is done properly, it is sattva-guna. But the greatest charity is not only that, but to give nourishment to the soul, to bring people closer to their real essence, which is beyond birth, old age, disease, and death. To bring people to their original spiritual nature and closer to God, which is the only source of real happiness. And that we do by giving prasad. Srila Prabhupada explains, this was Lord Chaitanya's system. Nam Sankirtan, and then prasad distribution. Any event where there's devotees, there's Nam Sankirtan and there's prasad distribution. Prabhupada was very careful about that. Even when he had nothing, still he made sure there was prasad distribution. He'd be sitting at a park or in a little storefront, 26 Second Avenue. There was no money. There was nothing. What do you need to have Nam Sankirtan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there are no hard and fast rules. Anyone can do it anywhere. To do Agnihotra, you need Brahmins, you need knowledge of mantras, you need wood, you need ghee, so many things. To do puja, you need an object of puja, you need the paraphernalia of puja, you have to take bath before you perform your puja. But Nam Sankirtan, anywhere, in any situation, whether you're in a temple, whether you're in the streets, whether you're in Bombay Central Station boarding a crowded train, or whether you're in the latrine, the toilet, you can unite with God perfectly and fully if you simply, sincerely call out the Lord's holy names. Thank you very much. So Prabhupada would have Nam Sankirtan. And then Prabhupada would give the charity of transcendental knowledge by speaking from Sri Bhagavad Gita. And then prasad distribution. Now how do you prasad distribution when you have nothing? But it was so important. Prabhupada would get one apple. Somehow or other, he would get someone to donate an apple. Now, in America, apple is the cheapest, most common of all fruits. Yes? And he would just count how many people were in the room. If there was 25 people in the room, he would cut the apple, personally, right in front of everybody. He would cut it in 25 slices. That much. He would offer it to Krishna with love and devotion, and he would give everyone prasad. And oh, he was so happy to give that prasad. He would give it with so much feeling, with so much love, as if he was giving them Krishna. He'd give that little slice of apple as if he was giving them the rarest, most precious of all jewels, God's mercy. And because he would present, he would offer that apple to people with that emotion, with that sincerity, people felt it. They would take that apple. People who never even, they didn't even know what prasad was. They were guests. Some of them were street urchins, hippies. Because Prabhupada gave it with such love, with such faith in the power of prasad, that it would affect them. And they would look at that little apple slice like, wow, look what I have. And they'd eat it, and how it tasted. And they were completely satisfied. Talk to those devotees who got those little apples before they even knew what it was. And when more facilities came, Prabhupada was giving big feasts. So distribution of Krishna's holy prasad is a very, very holy, sanctified act. For the body, for the mind, but especially for the upliftment of the soul. Dana. And therefore it is everyone's duty to give in charity. And tapasya. To live a pure life. To live an honest life. To live a simple life. Not a greedy life. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These are just basic, simple principles of morality. But what makes it tapasya is to live with any sense of morality or ethics in this world. You have to resist temptation. Because temptations will come inevitably. It is just part of every living being's destiny. It is in the environment. And to uphold the integrity of our ideals and the will of God, in spite of different situations that come upon us, that is tapasya. And that is how Dhruva Maharaj personally lived and ruled the kingdom of the world. For a long time. But when he saw that his son was qualified and mature to take that position himself, Dhruva Maharaj didn't try to hold on to it. Because he understood everything belongs to God. Nothing ever was mine, nothing is mine, and nothing ever will be mine. This is the peace formula of Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam kyatvamam shanti mrichchati. One is peaceful when one understands that Krishna, or the Lord, is the proprietor of everything, all material and spiritual worlds. And therefore, everything is ultimately meant for his enjoyment. And he is the best, loving, well-wishing friend of all beings. When we understand this principle and live according to this, there is real peace. One time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, "Guru Maharaj, I want to renounce everything." Prabhupada's reply, "Nothing is yours. What do you have to renounce? The only thing you have to renounce is the illusion that you have something to renounce." If everything is the property of God, the path of bhakti is simply to be honest. It is my Lord's, so it should be utilized according to the will of my Lord. And love means for the pleasure of my Lord. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. When God is pleased, we are pleased. And we can actually please the souls of all other living beings. So Dhruva Maharaj gave everything, all responsibilities to his son, and he left. But something happened before that I'm going to speak on briefly. It was his duty to protect. He was a kshatriya, a king. A whole army of yakshas killed Dhruva's brother. Dhruva was personally very hurt that his brother was dead. And also it was his duty as the king to apprehend the miscreants and to punish them. So he got on his chariot and led the forces. Today, the reason why there's so many wars is the leaders, they hide somewhere in the background and send the militaries to fight amongst themselves. But for a real leader to declare war on someone else, you had to really be serious, because you had to be in the front lines, the first person on the scene in the battlefield to fight. Hare Krishna. That's why not everyone wanted to be a king. There was no competition. So the yakshas attacked him, and there was an intense battle. At a certain point, the yakshas resorted to unethical, immoral codes of combat. They created, by their mystical powers, massive illusions. Gigantic tidal waves and monstrous beings and lightning and thunder and all things were coming. And Dhruva Maharaj saw all around him. Can you imagine? He became temporarily bewildered. But then the sages, they reminded him that this is all just an illusion created. And if you remember the Supreme Lord Hari, that remembrance will dispel all illusion. So even the great Dhruva, he required the guidance and the help of others to overcome this obstacle. So what is our position? There are so many illusions coming upon us. So many traumatic situations, so many temptations, so many aversions, so many things. If the great Dhruva Maharaj, who at the age of 5 saw God directly with his own eyes and became self-realized, Mahabhagavat, but still he fell under the sway of illusion. And he required devotees around him, sages, to say, Dhruva, don't fall into this illusion. Just remember the Supreme Lord Hari, and he will display that illusion. We all need the help of others, whoever we are. Yesterday was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. There is a lecture of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, speaking about his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he explains how his Guru Maharaj gave him the instruction in 1936. I believe it was December 13th, he received the letter that you are an intelligent young man. You should teach Lord Chaitanya's philosophy in the English language. And that will not only benefit you, but it will benefit everyone. A fortnight later, his Guru Maharaj left this world. Srila Prabhupada said he was young at that time. But he took that order of his life and soul. He said, now I have recently started this movement. This was in about 1973. He said, I am very old and I could die at any time. But you are all young and you have much energy. Please carry on this mission of Lord Chaitanya. Assist me in my service to my Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, I am depending on all of you to help. And then Prabhupada said, actually, you are all doing everything. This is the way great souls think. Prabhupada is giving credit to everyone else. In the same way, Dhruva Maharaj, he received these words, he thought of Lord Hari, and all the illusions were dispelled. And because these people, they murdered his brother, they were acting as cheaters, immorally. So Dhruva Maharaj just started destroying all of them. They were absolutely fighting, but they were being crushed by Dhruva single-handedly. At that time, Dhruva's grandfather, Manu, he came down and said, Dhruva, you know, you've already settled the problem. You know, let them live. That's enough. So Dhruva Maharaj immediately stopped. Showing, even though he was a king, so powerful, still He honored the word of his superior. That is another quality of a great soul. Kuvera, who is very dear to the Yakshas, he was so happy with Dhruva Maharaj. He offered Dhruva Maharaj any benediction. Now, who is Kuvera? He is the treasurer of the Devatas. And the Acharyas explain, Kuvera is the king of kings. Why? Because he can distribute immense wealth. Any king requires wealth. You cannot be a king without, you can't even be wealthy without the blessings of Kuvera. So here is the king of kings, the treasure of the Devatas, the treasure of the universe. He's offering Dhruva Maharaj anything he wants. Ask for any blessing. Dhruva Maharaj asked for one thing. He said, give me this benediction. I want nothing else. Give me the benediction that I will have unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord. Give me the benediction that I will always remember the Supreme Lord. That is all. Now, according to the Vedas, when one approaches the Lord, there is generally four goals that one wants to achieve. Artha, Dhamma, Kama, Moksha. One approaches the Lord or the demigods for economic prosperity. For the purpose of piety, religiosity, for the purpose of fulfilling one's senses, sense gratification, or ultimately for liberation. These are the purusharthas, the goals of religion. Economic development, sense gratification, and religiosity are simply on the material platform. Liberation is the highest goal in the material world. Dhruva Maharaj rejected all four. He asked for that benediction, the ultimate benediction, beyond this material world. The Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life, which is Prema Pumartha Mahan, love of God. The essence of every religion. Christians go to church, and generally, what do they ask for? Economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, and perhaps salvation. But that's not what Jesus told them is good. The first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, sarva dharman purityajya, mame kam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. That surrender is to offer the love of our hearts unconditionally in the service of the Lord. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. That is the greatest goal of life. And that goal is achieved through unflinching faith and through constant remembrance of the Lord. This is the real blessing that we learn from Dhruva Maharaj, that we should long for, that we should pray for, that we should live for. Kuvera told Dhruva Maharaj, I bestow this blessing upon you. Now one may ask that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that why should one take benedictions from demigods when I'm the ultimate source of everything? But Dhruva Maharaj, this great demigod offered him a benediction. So out of respect and gratitude to Kuvera, he asked him for the best of all benedictions. Out of respect for the demigods, we can ask for this, for love for Krishna. Often in temples of Vishnu, there is the deity of Ganapati, because Ganapati removes obstacles. So some people pray, remove obstacles in my business. Remove the obstacles of my fighting with my husband or wife. Remove obstacles in my political affairs. But a devotee worships Ganapati, or let us say honors Ganapati, remove the obstacles in the path of pure devotional service. Those things that are impeding me from giving my heart unconditionally to the service of the Lord. The gopis worshiped Katyayani for Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj, at the time he gave his throne to his son, he left everything and traveled by foot to Badrikashram, high in Himalayas. And there he performed devotional service. He performed devotional service in every way throughout his life. But toward the end, he performed devotional service in a sense of complete renunciation. He fixed his heart in the form of the Lord, chanted the holy names of the Lord. Tears were pouring from his eyes, his limbs were trembling, his hairs were standing on end. He was in ecstatic love. And when he attained the highest, purest state of love of God, Lord Vishnu sent a beautiful airplane to bring Dhruva Maharaj to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. This airplane was like a big house. It was magnificent, made out of precious, divine, spiritual jewels and metals. And on the airplane were Nanda and Sunanda, two of the favorite associates of Vishnu, who had the same bodily features as the Lord, who had descended from Vaikuntha. They landed their plane, and they said, Dhruva, we know everything about you. When you were only 5 years old, you left your home. And at that time, You had the darshan of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and you surrendered your life with love to his service. And throughout your life, you simply lived for the welfare of others. And you enjoyed transcendental bliss. Now we have been personally sent by God to bring you to his abode, to enjoy his pastimes forever. Come on the airplane and join us. Now please listen carefully, because this is a very important instruction that Dhruva taught us by his example. Before going on the airplane, he took his morning bath in the frigid, cold waters of the Alaknanda River. How many of you have been to Badrinath? Please raise your hand. How many have directly bathed in the Alaknanda River there? Was it cold? How long could you stay in? It's frigid. Anyways, he took his morning bath, and then he performed all his devotional activities for the morning. He did his worship, everything. And Srila Prabhupada explains, he did this just to show that in every situation of great soul performs his duties to the Lord. Even at the time of being elevated to Vaikuntha, still, he did his duties. Brajalila and Jambavati Devi are here. Their beloved Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Even though he was in the last stages of life and his body was very much undergoing a diseased condition, still, he would chant his 16 rounds every day. And I told him, Maharaj, you don't have to do this. You don't have to be so strict about it. Prabhupada and Krishna understand you've given your whole life in their service. Now it's very difficult. He said, no, I must. I made a vow. I must fulfill my vow to the very end. This was Dhruva Maharaj. He was already in ecstatic love. The Asta Sattvika Bhava, the eight symptoms of ecstatic love, were already manifesting on his body. But still, he was performing his pujas. He was doing what he vowed to do, his devotional principles. Our own Guru Maharaj, he was Paramhamsa, descended from the spiritual world. Even when he was 80 years old, he would chant his 16 rounds. His servant Shruti Kirti Prabhu said he would sometimes sit and chant, sometimes he would walk and chant, and he would be counting on his. And then one day he just pulled down his last bead, and he put down his beads and said, now my 16 rounds are complete, I can do anything. This is the nature of the humility and the dedication of a great soul. So yes, Dhruva Maharaj did his chanting, did his puja, took his bath, and then he did one more thing before getting on that airplane. Are you ready? He went and honored all the great sages and rishis who were there. and begged for their blessings to go back to Godhead. He bowed down to them, worshiped them, and begged for their blessings to go back to Godhead. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains the nature of a real devotee is that person never thinks him or herself superior to anybody. If you think yourself superior to anyone, that means you are an inferior devotee.
Hare Krishna.
None of those sages were going back to Godhead. They were not invited on that airplane. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, probably the rest of us, if the airplane came right now and said, it's for you, not for anyone else, he would probably... You know, it's been nice knowing you, my friends, but I'm going back to Godhead. I don't know what's going to happen to you. That would be our natural tendency. I'm superior. Look, it's coming for me. Nanda and Sunanda, come. They're not looking at anyone else, only me. Vishnu sent this entire airplane just for me. No. Dhruva Maharaj was considering... It's only due to the grace of all of you that I have this blessing. He showed his gratitude to them and begged for the blessings of all of them before leaving. Just to show that an actual great personality always is eager to offer respect and gratitude to others. However great we may be, we always want to receive the blessings of those who are superior. And who is superior? Everyone. Especially those who could bestow blessings. Such humility. Such commitment to his devotional principles. Such respect for others. That is why Vishnu sent that plane for Dhruva Maharaj. So after bowing down and taking blessings and honoring all the assembled devotees, Dhruva Maharaj took his first step toward the airplane. And death personified appeared before him. Now we know who death personified is. The person who takes away our soul, the body from our soul. At the time of death, we meet death personified. No one is more feared in all of creation than death personified. Whoever we are, we must meet him in the near future. And that creates fear, instability, and insecurity in our life. Whoever we are. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham, and it could happen at any moment. We do not know. Death personified came before Dhruva and bowed down because when one gives his or her heart to the Lord Krishna, death one overcomes death. One is immune to death. We have to give up our body, But in this regard, Srila Prabhupada gives an analogy that a cat sometimes catches a rat in his mouth or her mouth. And that same cat sometimes carries her kitten in her mouth. What is the difference? For the rat, the cat is death personified. But for the kitten, being held in the same jaws, the cat is its beloved, tender, kind-hearted mother. So death is for everyone. For one who is rebellious against the Lord, they are like that rat. Death is something very feared. But for a devotee who has learned to love God and to be kind to all living beings, it is explained that Dhruva Maharaj, he was respectful and kind-hearted toward every living being. For a devotee who has that realization and is fixed in remembering the Lord with faith, death is beautiful. Death is the doors to the spiritual world opening. Death personified is carrying us into the arms of our beloved eternally. So yes, death personified, bow down to Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj put his foot on death personified's head. Because one who turns to God sincerely conquers death. And he used death personified's head as the step to board the airplane to Vaikuntha. Then Dhruva Maharaj is sitting very comfortably. Nanda and Sunanda are just about to take off to the spiritual world. But Dhruva Maharaj thought in his heart of hearts, how could I go back to Godhead and leave my poor mother behind? He was thinking of his mother at that most auspicious, glorious time of his life. Why? Because he was grateful. Long, long ago, this was Satya Yuga. So it was almost 36,000 years before, when he was 5 years old. 36,000 years before. His mother told him that in your condition, only the Lord can help you. And great souls go to the forest. That's all she said. She was the Patha Pradarshaka Guru. She was the guru who initially put him on the path of devotion. And he remembered her. If it wasn't for her speaking that one sentence, I would have never met my guru Narada Muni. I would have never seen the Lord. I would not be going to Vaikuntha. I cannot go without her. That was his feeling. He didn't say anything, but in his heart of hearts, how could I leave her behind? That is the nature of a devotee. So grateful. Never forgets how others have helped him or her on their path. What we do to help others, it's best if we forget it, because it can make us proud. But what others do to help us, we should never, ever, ever forget. Because if we do, we become ungrateful. And when we are ungrateful, the heart becomes hard. And the seed of devotion cannot grow properly. The Supreme Lord understood Dhruva's heart. And therefore, Nanda and Sunanda pointed to Dhruva, look here. And he saw that his mother, Suniti, was on an airplane already in the sky going to Vaikuntha. She would reach there before him even, to satisfy the desire of his devotee. Because when a devotee gives his or her heart to the Lord, vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha, the Lord fulfills their desires of compassion to others. Prahlad Maharaj, he prayed for Hiranyakashipu, give him liberation. And Narasimha Bhagavan, he said, many generations, both past and future, of one who gives his or her heart to me, they will all get liberated. That is the reciprocation of the Lord's love. So yes, Dhruva Maharaj remembered his mother. And by his remembrance, she was elevated to the spiritual world. Blessings and gratitude. Two essential principles. What blessings we should ask, we should pray for, and how to be worthy of those blessings through our gratitude. This is very prominently revealed in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Today I would like to express my sincere gratitude, because we are here actually to celebrate a very wonderful occasion. It is the 50th wedding anniversary of two people who I honor, love, and respect so very, very dearly. Raj Kumar Prabhu and Nirmala Devi. They have such wonderful family that they have raised. And almost every year at the National Sports Club of India in Haji Ali area, they arrange a beautiful program for us. Yes, we're about 2,000 people come, sometimes 3,000. And they work so hard, and they look forward to the service all year long, serving the devotees. And although they do all the work and they do so much, they're just thanking everyone else for coming and for accepting their services. Yes. And They're very, very exemplary in their life, in their devotion, in their commitment to the family, in their commitment to the principles of Dharma, their devotion to Krishna. And their marriage is a wonderful, wonderful success. 50 years. And we just pray that Krishna will bless you with unflinching faith and constant remembrance of the Lord. And we express our deepest gratitude. Everyone, please offer your blessings and gratitude by loudly chanting the holy name. Thank you very much. And also today is their son-in-law's birthday, Kunja Bihari Prabhu. He and his good wife, Madhu Priya Devi, have been two of the very dedicated and wonderful devotees of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, and have earned so much respect and love and affection by their good character, by their participation, by their enthusiasm for devotional service. Good fruits come from good trees. And yesterday was granddaughter's birthday, Vidhi, who we have known for the past 16 years. She turned 25 yesterday. Very wonderful girl who has tremendous amount of faith, such nice, soft-hearted, devotional qualities. I'm very honored and proud to be here for this occasion, this evening. For Kunja Bihari and Vidhi and Madhu Priya and Prerna and Shiva and everyone else, let us show our gratitude by chanting Hari Bol. And they have arranged this wonderful program for all of us. It's so nice, this culture. Some places, when it's your birthday, you want to take something. You're expecting material things. But for their birthday, anniversary, they simply want to serve. And all they want is two things, to serve and to receive blessings. And this is a beautiful example, because there is nothing more priceless than these two benedictions. The opportunity to serve devotees and the opportunity to receive the blessings of devotees is the greatest wealth that brings the greatest fulfillment in life. Thank you for this wonderful program, beautiful environment. I'm very happy the stage is here this time. A few years ago, the stage was there. And do you see these markings on this cloth here? Can everyone see? You don't have to say, but do you know what that is? Well, when the stage was there, all those markings were on me. I was giving lecture and it was... and it was a little embarrassing. I was trying to readjust this so it would cover it. But ultimately it was everywhere. So I just went on with my lecture. And then after the lecture, somebody came up to me. I think they felt sorry for me. And they said, according to our Hindu religion, it's very auspicious when a pigeon responds to nature's call on you. So I was feeling very happy and excessively blessed as well. But nobody came too close to me after that, because I started to doubt, you know, the authenticity of this blessing. With such beautiful arrangements, on behalf of all the devotees, we express our love, our gratitude. Rajkumar, Nirmala, Madhu Priya, Kunja Bihari, and your family for your great generosity and kindness this evening. Thank you very much. And we all pray that Lord Krishna and Sri Radha, that their blessings forever shower upon you, so that you realize their love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Should we celebrate by performing Nam Sankirtan? I think we have to end by 10. So everyone, please concentrate your enthusiasm by dancing and chanting very loudly.